This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Oh my God, so many terribly wrong things happening right now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Guess what? We're still here.
Yay!
And Doug brought
still
more
an hour seven failure.
Doug left
after these four.
Doug brought more champagne, which means that this hour is going to get better. More better.
More better.
And we also found more information about Uranus, so get ready for that.
They have a exciting union. There's a fudge packers union.
There's
in that
a union.
Fucking town.
They've been proudly packing fudge in Uranus.
But the fudge parlor remains empty.
Not yet. We haven't found the parlor.
Thank you, Al.
The fudge parlor.
Doug's sitting in his fudge parlor waiting for friends and family.
I'm sure it's exciting.
Waiting to entertain callers.
Well, in this final
Doug Wilkie's fudge parlor.
Caller, are you in my Uranus collar?
We're going to find out all kinds of things in this hour. Three of whatever the fuck we're doing. But boys and girls, here's Al Perkins.
All right, it's going to be a 9-hour show. Let's just
bring it on.
Just, you're reined in by the hurricanes. You're trapped by the floodwaters. Just listen. So, first off, according to Roseanne, world famous roaster.
Roseanne Barr, right?
Yeah, well, she goes by her first name. We don't need the rest.
Roseanne
she says,
Barr,
and I did.
The fuck she is.
Thank you, Clayton.
I did not watch the reboot of the Roseanne, but I guess at the end of the.
You didn't or she didn't?
Well, neither of us did.
Oh, I watched it.
Hand me your glasses.
I enjoyed it.
Why did you not watch it?
Yeah.
Right. So I enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it the first time, so I really didn't see any reason for the second time.
That's why he's not on board.
But, so I guess at the end of the new reboot, they revealed that Roseanne may have suffered from an opioid thing, which is, of course, finger on the pulse of the opioid crisis.
Laser focus on the opioid crisis.
The arc storyline was that she was having knee pain and knee problems, and she was overdoing.
We're going to tie his hands
you
down.
You need to stop touching shit.
We're
going to
give you a
happening.
Straw.
I know it irritated you earlier.
And for all the previous weeks, too. But my OCD.
We need to talk.
Yeah, I know.
No, so the deal was that she had a bum knee and she was
here.
And she was on all kinds of pain meds. I mean, the deal was that she was doctor shopping, getting more meds. So it's a perfect storyline to transition her exit.
Just kill her off. Yeah.
Kill her from an OD.
So we don't know if this is true, but this is what she's saying. And allegedly she's butthurt in her Uranus.
Right.
But it makes sense because it would be. She's saying she's offended by it and it hurts. But honestly, if she's that concerned about portraying Middle America and
it's accurate,
that's a real
it's
thing,
accurate.
Right?
It's it is what is happening to Middle America. So it would be a smart thing for them to do. I might tune in. I like everybody on it. I just don't
like her.
I just don't like. I just never. It's one of those shows like The Cosby Show. It was never funny to me. Darlene being sarcastic and nasty, I found very funny. But the rest of the show, it always eluded me.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Estelle Parsons a job, and I'm not going to complain about anybody.
With Lori Metcalf?
I love her.
I enjoy her.
She and John Goodman were the best part of that show.
Yeah, but she was never enough to sustain me through the rest of those people. But, I mean, but we all have our tastes. Like, everybody has different tastes.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who has filmed the final season of Veep, has a message for American citizens ahead of the upcoming midterm elections. Don't just vote, volunteer.
People can
exclusively announce, People magazine, I didn't realize it was capitalized. I went with a Trump pronunciation of People, who has long been an outspoken Democrat, has partnered with registered federal PAC local majority to put together a PSA, public service announcement, directed by her husband, Brad Hall, aimed at getting out the vote. Brad Hall is kind of famous on his own.
Yes.
A corrupt, self-obsessed, inept moron who somehow became president of the United States. That's the character I play on HBO's Veep. But when I'm off TV, I'm not a politician. I'm an expert. I'm a citizen, and I know the midterm election on November 6th is beyond important. It is vital. As a group of Democratic volunteers from around California offer their other reasons for getting involved, protecting the environment, supporting women's rights, fighting for immigration reform, Louis-Dreyfus opens up about a cause that hits close to home, affordable health care. She announced last year that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm a cancer survivor, and I'm really lucky because I had access to excellent health care, even with a pre-existing condition. That's the way it should be for absolutely everybody, and it's not. The Republican Congress is making it worse, but the Democrats can change that. Sitting down with People magazine, Louis-Dreyfus, 57, says that health care is hugely important to her specifically in light of her cancer diagnosis. I'm not lost on it is not lost on me how dire my circumstances would have been if it had not been for really strong insurance through my union. I can't say it's a club I ever really wanted to be a part of, but now that I'm a part of it, I'm delighted to help those who need help. I guess you could say that's a huge silver lining to all of the horribleness, being able to help others who are in the same spot, and that is quite gratifying. And the actress who completed her treatment earlier this year and recently returned to work on the HBO comedy says she's feeling well. I am very grateful to my Veep crew, all of them, cast, writers, crew, everybody, and above and below the line, who have waited out this period of time. But I'm feeling good and feeling quite ready and delighted to focus on funny things as opposed to things that aren't quite so funny. To find out where you can volunteer, please go to multiplyyourvote, spelled the traditional way, .org. That's multiplyyourvote.org. Through Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is a woman who doesn't need this help. If you're not aware, she comes from oil money. Yeah. She is at least a millionaire, if not a billionaire, in her own right.
Right.
And has kind of done the struggling actress thing her entire life without any real need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, she came into her own money because of Seinfeld. And
she married though.
No, he's not worth anywhere near where she is. He married well.
Oh.
He's a writer. He's not the Brad Hall that you think of. You're thinking of Brad Gray. And I do that too. Brad Gray is the television empire.
Yeah.
Brad Hall is a writer. But they're very, and we've talked about that I get those confused.
I get them confused.
Yeah, that Brad Gray and Brad Hall are not the same person. She married a writer, but he married well. She is well off.
Yeah.
But the fact that she relied on her union and her insurance to get her through this, that comes with working for a trade union, and that is the one thing that they stress in Hollywood all the time, is those trade unions. Mm-hmm. And my niece, who works as a makeup artist and hairstylist on movies and TV shows throughout New York State, her boyfriend, Zach, is a grip and an electrician whose goal this year is to get into the one specific union that runs New York.
Okay.
Because then he is, like, guaranteed, he is set. He has a retirement plan that way. Like, this thing that seems like artist being artist all of a sudden has a life plan to it. So it's an industry town, but you have to remember they are a union town and they support their unions.
I love what she said.
Yeah.
So good.
Everything about it. And this is a woman, like, and again, she comes from a lot of money. She doesn't need to do any of this. She didn't need to slum it on SNL for a year to, like, earn her chops. She has done a lot of things in her career that were just about paying your dues and not let anybody know, you know, I'm super rich. Like, I live in this shitty apartment, but I can get helicoptered out of here
at any
minute. I like
people that are rich and don't act like it.
Yeah don't act like it.
Fantastic.
That's what I've been doing for all my life.
No, it's not. However.
Well,
if I was rich, I would fucking act like it. I'm just going to put it out there.
Can I flash back to the Uranus story for just a minute?
Do anything you want.
Mind? Well, it's good. So this is for those of you watching, this is a map of Missouri on the picture. You can see the outline. Kansas City, St. Louis, where their big red dot in the center is. That's the Uranus Fudge Factory and General Store.
Oh, my God.
And General Store.
It's close to Rolla,
Fudge
Missouri.
Parlor.
It's on I-40.
They sell Santorum there. It's the byproduct
sure
of fudge
they
packing.
Do. They do.
Thank you for getting that very involved joke.
It is on I-44 in the great state of Missouri. Now, if you look where it says Springfield, see the big red arrow that I put where those highways all intersect? That is my hometown. That
my
is
keys
where,
are
is that Joplin?
Here.
That's where I'm from.
You
right.
should have labeled that.
If you keep blowing it up, eventually your hometown's name will show up.
No, it won't. Not on this map. Oh. On the other map. But anyway, that's where I'm from.
On any map.
So and also, this is the shirt that was proudly worn by the Uranus Fudge Packers Union.
Oh,
local
my
number two.
God.
Whoever came up with
local number two, proudly.
Let's put an extra $5 in his t-shirt. Paycheck this week. Take a picture of that. Send it to Kat. We're all going to wear the local Fudge Packer number two.
Oh, no, I can't steal their t-shirt. We're going to have to buy it from them.
We'll just tell them. We support their union. Hey.
We support you, so we made your shirt for free, and we didn't pay you for it. No, I don't think they're going to like that.
How about if I buy fudge afterwards?
You know what? They can pack fudge. Fuck them.
I'll bet.
I think it's fair.
Continue on with your...
Bring that up back up again. What was that website? We're going to see if they've got a shirt for sale.
Oh, UranusMissouri.com.
Okay.
Traditional spelling.
And it's on Route 66.
It is. It's on 44.
Get your kicks.
You go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, but you have to pass Uranus in the middle of it.
So we talked recently about the sad passing of a well-lived Neil Simon.
Yes.
And
have
so the Wilkie was, the Wilk over here was very kind enough to tell me that The Goodbye Girl was going to be on cable. So I taped it before I left for work.
So did I
watched it the last 2 days.
Me too.
Let's just say.
Yes. Let's talk about this.
Sparkling dialogue.
So good.
So fresh. So funny. Just a delight of a movie from beginning to end. And a child actress that I did not want to put a burlap sack over her bag and hide her in a tub. The child actress is good. He's good. She's good.
You know,
that
I was going to text you.
Dialogue is pithy.
It
and
is so perfect.
Fun.
So I was going to text you my highlights from that, which was Richard Dreyfuss at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Neil Simon writing is just perfect.
An original screenplay not based on a play.
Marsha Mason, like, I saw this thing on IMDb that said her big appeal is like innately like sweet natured. Boy, does she have that down.
Oh, it's
like
down.
And just such a natural
actress. You're on her side.
And when you look, yes. And when you look in the 70s, a lot of people overact. She,
no,
not under,
no.
underacting. And then the final thing about Quinn Cummings, I love, because they get this wrong a lot with child actors now. I hate when they do this thing of the child character is just a little adult, and they always say these pithy things that like would come out of the mouth of like a 42-year-old,
right.
And it's just fucking stupid because children don't talk that way. She talked exactly like a child was from the point of view of a child, and I'm going to say it was like Tatum O'Neill good in that child performance way.
Yeah.
It was so cute. She is the cutest kid in that movie.
And you just totally believe her that she's someone who has been dragged
right
willingly because she likes theater, but she is the child of an actress that was married, that was dating an actor. She is the child of the theater and a child of old movies.
Good.
And you know, like the two of us, she spent most of her life just watching old shit on TV. So she's just aware of movies, and not because she's any kind of like empath or special child.
She's been raised in the world, good and bad.
Just watching old actors and actresses on TV.
Jenny, it's Quinn Cummings.
Quinn Cummings.
Al, there's this great scene. And of course, they sleep because it's New York. And the mom and the daughter sleep in the same bed. My favorite scene is actually at the beginning of the movie when Tony has left them. So the boyfriend of the whatever month or year has left. And he does something horrible. And then Quinn Cummings, they're going to bed. The mom's like, I can't anymore. Like, she's just so depressed. And the thing that Tony, whatever he did. And then Quinn Cummings rolls over and she goes, what a Tony. She's like, what a shit heel.
And it's just delightful. But when this new actor comes in their life and they meet him, and she's at the breakfast table, and she asks for his credits.
Right.
Like, she's just eating. Right. Have you done anything I might have seen? Like, where would you have seen this local actor? But she grew up in the Upper West Side. Her mom is a dancer actress. Her mom's longtime boyfriend is an actor. And that is her first question, having cereal. Been anything I might have seen? And then, you know, she doesn't want to go backstage and talk to him after a show. He's going to know we hated it. Oh, that dialogue. And it really does remind you of what a genius Neil Simon was to make you relate
perfect.
To people who are so they're so New York in 1977. And everybody Oscar nominated. The only reason that the director isn't Oscar nominated is because he directed The Turning Point the same year.
Herbert Ross.
So he actually was nominated for a different movie.
Which is another great movie.
But directing, movie, screenplay, all three main characters, everyone in the movie is nominated for an Oscar. And deservedly so for a movie that holds up just
so good.
Perfectly. And you just giggle through the whole thing at how relatable every one of them are. Like, they live they lead a different life than all of you, but you're just delighted by all of their performances. Yeah. Right. And Richard Dreyfuss won and she didn't.
Yeah, he won the Academy Award for that, which was a big thing.
Well, he had two movies nominated for Best Picture. He had Close Encounters of the Third Kind and The Goodbye Girl in the same year.
But why it was a big deal was
the youngest actor.
Best actor, and also comedies rarely win, and he also beat Richard Burton for Equus when everyone thought he was going to win for that. So Richard Dreyfuss in a Neil Simon comedy, people didn't see that coming, but it's such a good performance.
And in their defense, the movie version of Equus never holds up to the play. There's something.
Yeah.
It's like the Rent movie. Like something.
But I do
just
love that movie.
Oh, no. No, it's good. It's really good.
It's good.
But if you've ever seen it live on stage, something just gets lost when you take it out of that ethereal plane. Like there's just something lost. It's a story about a boy who goes nuts and stabs horses' eyes out or some shit. I don't know. It's fucked up.
Sounds lovely.
But I've seen the
play.
Yeah,
it's great, Glenn.
It's great. It's a musical comedy in three acts. So that's... So there's that. So let's get to...
All right.
Okay. So your movie this week to see, and please don't miss it. They have been pushing this. I can't remember what film festival. I think it was Sundance that it did well at. Searching with John Cho.
Which you went to without me. I saw you, you fucker, on Facebook. You went with Kevin and Lee.
I did not have a day off to negotiate.
I just had lunch with our friend Jose, and he said the same thing.
Oh, everyone loves this movie.
My God. Now, there's a horror movie that I talked about a couple weeks ago called Unfriend Me, because that's not how any of this works. That is all.
I unfriend you.
I unfriend you. I'm taking you off my wall. So,
I take these pictures
off my wall. It's not how any of this works. So anyways, there's this movie called Unfriend Me that was part horror movie and part... Well, that's how I can use my Apple better. Mac. This one is told for... It's the search for a missing teenager through the eyes of her father and through the eyes only of computer screens and devices. So you can only... Nothing happens.
So you don't see anything outside of that?
You don't see anything that happens.
Is this the one Deborah Messing's in?
Deborah Messing. Okay. Okay, is good. Phenomenal. Deborah Messing has never
I heard
been better.
Fantastic reviews about
never
her
been
this.
Better. This movie is so good, and it's the same director from Unfriend Me, so he likes the idea of doing everything through how we see our world now through FaceTime, phone calls, YouTube videos. They have a couple of platforms that I don't know if they're real or they made them up for the movie. How he sees what his daughter, but he knows. He turns out he doesn't know anything about his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So when she comes up
which
missing,
which is easy to do,
he
which
has
is
to,
why I have an iPhone now.
Right. Oh no. And again, yeah. I had that written down to tie into your story. It is about the being in
parents
junior high.
Don't know what their kids are doing, right?
And they don't know what their kids are doing, and how you need to know their passwords.
Yeah,
like you have to check.
All the things.
But you have to check every day that you can open up every part of his phone.
Yeah.
So either you or Sharon has to play bad cop, and that phone, and Jenny, if you're listening, could do the same thing. If you have a teenager, you have to make sure that there is nothing on that phone you cannot get into as well. Because if they go missing, as this movie points out, you need to know who they're talking to.
Uh-huh.
This movie is terrific.
Wow.
There are so few adult crime dramas made anymore where you're like trying to figure out who done it, but it's all about the adults. There's a component of the children, and like we don't really understand what the kids are doing, but what a terrific movie with twists and turns and finding out what your kid is doing online and how that affects the real world.
Oh.
Like that to you is just something bizarre and random, but oh my God, it's real. So I think the one thing was they couldn't get the rights to YouTube, but it could also be a real channel that exists.
Yeah,
I just, because I'm so old, I don't know about it. What a terrific movie, filled with twists and turns. The only scene that they can't fake, there's no way to film it, between the father and his brother, the girl's uncle. How they set that up was, I wanted to pause the movie. If I had been watching this at home on video, and when you watch it at home on video, you will be like, that is just genius film. Like, that is script writing at its best. Like Chicago, like Silence of the Lambs, like all the best screenplays ever written. How do you get this one scene in that doesn't fit the genre?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, bravo. I mean, just...
So is it a horror movie?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not
so it's like a suspense mystery,
so
right?
I could see it.
No, it's not. There's nothing horror about it. It's just an adult movie about a missing girl.
But I like that following that... I haven't seen it, but you're saying of following the rules of...
Right.
Not breaking out of that that limited area,
right. You have,
which
there's
I'd
the,
like.
Right, and that's the one thing, and I think The Sixth Sense is the one movie that I always bring up. If you establish the rules early, you can't break them.
I love
them.
That movie.
Right. And The Sixth Sense never breaks that rule.
I know.
Yeah.
So you really have to like stick to it. So I really can't recommend it enough. And the one scene that I thought they were going to fuck it up, Chicago's another one where it all has to be seen through Roxy's eyes. So they had to cut two songs because you couldn't see them through Roxy's eyes. So this one scene, and I said to Kevin as we were watching it, I'm like, that's fucking genius. Because he was like, what? I'm like, we're going to stick to the rules. And he's like, oh, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't seeing where it was going. And I'm like,
so good.
They're going to hit play. They're going to hit record. And we are going to play by the rules. So genius. Run, don't walk. Really, the hype is for reals. Toronto International Film Festival just finished this weekend.
Yes.
So now everything coming out, we are officially in Oscar season. Glenn Close still remains in good position no one has really come out to. Mm-hmm. Nothing has come out to take Glenn Close out of her.
Keira Knightley,
best actress. No, but even she, they're still saying Keira Knightley can
win. I want to see that movie, but
She's in
Colette.
Colette. Yes. So there are some people that are owed Oscars. I think Annette Bening might sneak her way into the supporting actress category, which is where they both started. So whoever wins, you both started in that category. You can win that
category. You know, my ultimate fantasy
is both of them winning.
That is Annette Bening being nominated for supporting actress for The Seagull. Or the other one. She has another one.
Yeah, the other
one,
yeah.
And Glenn Close for best actress for The Wife.
And they both win.
Both of them winning. And then we're going to drink all of the champagne that it is. And then we're going to kill ourselves because nothing else could ever be that great.
I agree that nothing will ever be that great, but I'm going to stay alive to see it. Let me see if I have one more thing before we go through a quick rundown of the Schmemmies, the Emmys. I have a... look up Anna Kendrick. Has had a great week because her new movie is out this week, which I have not seen.
She was on Colbert.
She was on Colbert, told a funny story of why she called Obama an asshole. Charming. She did the in-between takes, the commercial break of The Daily Show, stole the show there with Noah, that hottie's name.
It was so funny when she, because he does a between the scenes, between the segments, he just talks to the audience.
Oh my God, you saw it?
She walks right out and she just joins him. That's
funny.
Where the list of five people you can sleep with.
Yes. Oh my God. With an audience member?
Yes.
And they're like, you're on my list?
Was I on the list?
Yes.
And she goes, well, of course you do. He goes, I don't want your pity list. No, no.
But I love that Trevor Noah didn't know what the list was.
He did not know.
He did not know, hysterical.
It was so cute.
So she knew, Anna Kendrick knew,
everyone knew.
And he was like, is the list? What? And so it was hysterical.
Anybody
she
old
was
enough
like,
to have watched Friends in its original run knows what the fucking list is.
Yeah, the list is, yeah. So she knows about...
it's laminated.
What's her daughter with the... Oh, God.
Of course
God.
It's laminated.
Jesus Christ.
More words.
Isabella Rossellini is on Ross's list, but she's the daughter of whose daughter is she?
Ingrid Bergman.
Okay, so we're just going to go through of what should be watching based on the Emmys and based on me because we came together. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes, watch it so many times.
One
watch
best
it.
Comedy,
so
best.
I'll
actress.
Give you my Amazon
I love
password.
Amy
go watch
Sherman
it.
Sherman Palladino that writes it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. She got a writer and director. She's our Gilmore Girls.
She's Gilmore Girls, right?
Yes. Did you watch Gilmore Girls?
Oh my god, it's
like my favorite show.
Listen.
So, okay, we'll bond over this.
Listen.
My future ex-wife, Lauren Graham.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
So that's wife number one, because I feel like she has to come before Anna Kendrick.
Long time ago. Oh, yeah, yeah. So no, that's long
Amy
time ago.
Amy Sherman-Palladino won two Emmys finally after her long drought.
Yay.
But she won for writing
she
and
got
directing.
She fucked out of the last season of Gilmore Girls.
Right. Game of Thrones, yes, because she got booted out.
So is Game of Thrones really that good to win?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Okay. It is. They're not lying.
It's hard to follow, and it's my favorite show.
What about Handmaid's Tale? Wasn't that nominated?
Really good. Both are good.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it win you last year?
It won last year.
Okay, so they're spreading it out.
They're still angry at the book.
Ginny's looking at the grapes, Clayton.
The problem with the book of the...
Handmaid's Tale.
The book of the Handmaid's Tale is solved by the miniseries of the Handmaid's Tale.
I don't care. I'm not watching it.
There's less passive. Okay. But Game of Thrones, I will recommend to anyone who watches these shows that are so involved with the characters.
I've never watched it.
Same with Westworld. Find the Wikipedia page that goes along and read along with Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching a show and you're like, who the fuck is this? Wikipedia
has their
own page for Game of Thrones, for Lost, for all the shows.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of fan pages that have a lot of
backstory. There's a lot of fan page that tells you, like,
so you can,
why
you'll
don't
know.
I remember? Westworld I needed desperately. So I'm like, why?
I haven't watched that yet. I'm still, like, waiting for I don't know what.
The big reveal of that show we'll talk about after the break.
To be done with
spoil
the Fosters.
I think it's the greatest spoiler in all of TV. So anyways, American Crime Story wins Outstanding Limited Series.
I love
and
that show.
Darren, it won for Ryan Murphy. And Darren Criss, even though it kept losing everything to the show about the godless, about the people and the horses, Darren Criss won his Emmy, and well-deserved, because after I saw it, I have to say, that was one of the best performances in any medium.
So he did win.
That's ever happened, yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace won Outstanding Limited Series. It won Best Actor and Best Director, but it lost everything else to Godless. Where we get to Merritt Wever, and it turns out her name is pronounced Wever, not Weaver. Turns out I made up a vowel. Who gave the shortest Emmy speech in history when she won for Nurse Jackie, and she got up on stage and she was like, thank you very much, and walked off. This time, she attempted a speech, and she's like, this is just bombing. I'm going to go. Thank you very much.
Oh,
she
wow.
She just can't handle it.
That's fantastic.
It. One of the...
See the script.
Nurse Zoe is... She was my... Nurse Jackie was on when I was a brand new nurse, and so Nurse Zoe was who I pictured myself as. Everyone was like, you're a nice Nurse Jackie. I'm like, no. I'm the awestruck one on the side going, can I do that? Like, yeah. Just always, like, in awe of, like, this goes on for real life.
I need to go but back she and watch won again. More of that.
So, Black Mirror won for Outstanding Television Movie. We already know that, but it also won for Best Writing. So, genius. Fantastic. If you're not watching Black Mirror, I don't understand why.
I have to take it in sections. Yeah, I have to take it in doses. One? It fucks me up.
It's BBC America right. meets Netflix. Okay. They are each one is its own movie. They have nothing to do with anything else. You
all
don't
of them
have to
make
watch
me
them in order.
My phone.
And all of them, the Black Mirror is this. This is your Black Mirror. In case you don't know what a Black Mirror is, it's the mirror of your empty device.
I love it. Okay,
it's
I didn't
genius.
Know that.
Matthew Reese wins for The Americans.
Fantastic show. That's my favorite show.
Claire Foy won for The Crown.
Thank
Phil
God.
Hader won for Barry. And
is that show that good?
Yes, it's that funny. But the sweet part that we will all love as older people is that Henry Winkler, 43 years after his first nomination, finally
that.
Brought home an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy, and he wanted to wear his Fonzie jacket.
Oh.
And he was afraid that it would jinx him. And it was the most grateful speech ever given on any show ever
of
a man who has been continuously working in television.
Yeah.
Forever.
He does an occasional movie
working
role,
actor.
But he is a working television actor.
Love
a
it.
Beloved character.
I love that.
For years.
Oh, his now I want to see it.
His whole turn of Arrested Development was just as good as TV gets. And he was so genuine. His speech was so charming.
Oh.
He was the first award of the night, and I was just reduced to emotional tears.
Oh, wow.
And then I found out when he went backstage, he said, I'm going to get teared up. I wanted to wear the Fonzie jacket, because that's... who I am.
Yeah,
the Fonz.
Right.
But he got up and he did the A. Like, he did the whole thing. Oh, it was
cool.
Why we watch award shows. So, I'm going to stop crying. So, Rachel Bornison won for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, because it's so good.
Walk,
Darren, Chris, we talked about...
Run, Don't Walk. Go watch that freaking show.
Is it Hulu?
Amazon. Like I said, I'll give you my password if you
all right, because I don't have Amazon.
Outstanding lead actress in a limited series or movie. It doesn't matter what this movie is. The fact that the Emmy Awards and the Television Academy now has a love affair with Regina King is so justified. This is one of the
her American
best.
Crime wins were amazing.
Amazing. This is just a great American actress who is getting her due and
phenomenal.
Just phenomenal. Even she was like, "Are you people high?" Like, her speech was like, this is filled with grit, but now they're stuck in her.
Wait,
the
what
Emmys,
did she win for?
It's called 7 Seconds. I've never seen it. I have no idea what it's about.
Because I loved her on American Crime.
But she's against some really amazing characters. Peter Dinklage wins against Thandie Newton. We
Wait,
talked about that.
Peter Dinklage won?
For Game of Thrones. This
Wait,
is
that the first little person to ever win?
No, this is his third win.
Oh.
He owns this
I'm
category.
Late to that party.
Because he is so good on Game
Super
of Thrones.
Super good. Yeah.
Super good. Alex Borenstein won 2. She won for a voiceover, and then
good.
She won for supporting actress.
Voiceover.
Lois Griffin
for the Family Guy.
She won an Emmy for Family Guy. That's fantastic.
She won 2 Emmys in 2 weeks.
Oh, I love it.
So when she won, she takes off her shawl and shakes her tits. Because she's been a bridesmaid for years. She finally gets invited to the dance. She was genius on Getting On. But
I loved her on Getting On.
Laurie Metcalf got all the attention for Getting On. But it was Alex that's just sold that
and
show.
And the black one.
Oh.
What was her name?
Niecy.
That's Niecy Nash.
Niecy
that
Nash.
Performance by her was amazing.
If you have not seen Getting On HBO,
it's, so
it's only 2 seasons
I
or
love
3 seasons
show.
Possibly. Genius. We only have a couple to go through here. So we'll go through real quick. Jeff Daniels won for supporting actor in a limited series or movie for Godless. He thanked his horse. Merritt Weaver. I have spent all these years thinking she had another vowel in her name. We love her. And then we will get to, I'm going to get to her name, RuPaul's Drag Race, won for Outstanding Reality Competition Program, which he is a producer of. So now he is 4-time Emmy Award winner.
That's incredible.
So didn't he get an Emmy for being the host?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that's why he's 4 times, because 2 for host, 2 for best show.
That's something.
So their switch from Logo to VH1 was criticized, but it got him a publicity machine and has gotten him 4 Emmys in 2 years.
Yep.
So... Wow. We're going to get to the highlight of the show in just a minute.
Well, Betty White, somehow.
She got a Lifetime Achievement Award. That was very vague what they were doing with
her.
She looked a little confused.
They really, here's what they were doing with her. People were worried. The public was concerned. Right. They trotted her out on stage, gave her an award to say, this bitch is still alive. Right. Calm down, gays. Jacob with a K. Yeah.
Right.
Calm down. She's okay.
Right. Dreyer Weiler. Yeah. Calm down.
So we will cut to
Jacob
the end.
With a K.
And what was probably
that's his Christian name.
Yeah. One of the most sincere moments in award show history. Glenn Weiss won his Emmy for directing the Oscars, which I love when you win an award show for another award show. Glenn Weiss got on stage, thanked everyone, talked about the fact that his mom had just died, how sad he was, and then he thanked his girlfriend at the time for standing by him and being such a true thing of support, and they pulled out his mother's ring, apologized to his brothers and sisters, and said he cleared it with his mom before she died. He had her wedding ring, and he proposed to his girlfriend in the audience. But he just brought out the ring.
So
she says yes from the audience. Someone is Sterling Brown from This Is Us escorts her on stage. She's screaming yes, and he's like, I haven't asked you yet.
Oh!
So he says to the camera, to my brothers and sisters, or my brothers, I got permission from mom. I didn't steal this off of her body. But I and so he proposes to her on stage and completely unscripted proposes and gets a yes. And it was the highlight. There's comments about Jost and Che not being as funny as they could be. I thought they did a good job for as much as I saw. I checked. I fell asleep this morning after like 2 hours because I worked last night. They were fine. The opening, we've got it. We fixed racism or whatever that opening song was kind of funny. But
why were people upset about Betty White?
It just didn't make any sense. They didn't say like.
Hasn't she won like 30 Emmys? Like
not as many as you'd think.
She has so many nominations. She's nominated for everything.
But the Emmys started in 1949, and her first nomination was 51. So she was like the oldest. She was the only person they could bring out an Emmy. She was the oldest living Emmy nominee, or like the furthest back.
Right.
And then a big gap. She wasn't nominated again until 77 for the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Wow.
And then again another decade, she wasn't nominated again until Golden Girls.
She won once for the Golden Girls, once for SNL, and once for Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh,
I think she only has three, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't have her winning until...
So she gets nominated.
She won for the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
She did.
And she won once for the Golden Girls.
Like My Name Is Earl. She got a nomination for that.
She won two for Mary Tyler Moore, one for the Golden Girls, one for the John Larroquette Show.
Oh, and one for SNL. She has four.
Five.
She has a lot of guest actors.
Five.
Ones.
Yeah.
But and she's starting to get older. Okay. Like it was starting to.
She's
like 100 years old.
No, but she was sharp as a tack. And one of the reasons that I heard that they ended Hot in Cleveland. Was because she knew they were Estelle Getty.
I love
her.
That show, by
she's
the way.
She's 96, as it turns out.
She's 96. But Estelle Getty, at the end, had started to have Alzheimer's. Not that Betty White has Alzheimer's.
Right.
But they started to have to, like, do her things like child actors.
Sure.
Where you have to do the cutaway to the actor.
And she always was sitting.
To get the one line. Mm-hmm. And she had to be sitting.
Right.
Because she was in poor health.
They can't film all day.
And Betty, they had said with Betty White, she couldn't be a part of the whole ensemble as much.
Right.
So she said enough, and once she said enough, they all said enough. That's the rumor I heard.
Oh, I think that's accurate.
That's kind
of now
nice,
when you see this
though.
Speech, she's a little charming. Overwhelmed. She's a little unsure of why she's there. She gets a couple of zingers in, but you can tell she's starting to stutter a little
bit. She's 96.
She's 96.
For television appearances on TV, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, but well done. So that's entertainment, and the Emmys... They're not the Tonys. Let's just say it. They're not the Tonys. They're not the Oscars. But that Henry Winkler moment, and it happens in the first 10 minutes, is worth the whole show.
Yeah.
Especially if you've, like...
Now I want to see
He's my entire childhood, pretty much.
No, sure.
Like, one of my first memories is the Fonz. And the fact that Happy Days got some Emmy love for him. For a character who is not supposed to be recurring. He's another one of those ones that the Fonz was supposed to be a supporting character.
And then people loved
him. And people loved him, and they put him in a leather jacket. He wear a white, like, members-only jacket. Like, so it's a charming story
on
a hardworking actor.
Something you haven't mentioned, and I don't recall hearing you mention it. On Friday, a documentary is released called Love, Gilda. Is it an independent...
Perfectly
is it,
done.
I don't.
Nice.
I don't feel like that's going to be in, you know, all of the,
it's
all of the Metroplex. It's an independent.
It's not just independent. It's actually on TV. It's on one of the pay stations.
It's not even.
It's getting really good reviews.
I was assuming it was going to be like at Camel View.
No, I think it will get a couple.
It will be.
It will be, but yeah. I think it's also. It's either an Amazon or a Netflix. Somebody
that movie is going to be big.
Yeah.
Somebody I would just like to see it because it's...
It's like what CNN did with the RBG, remember?
And
like last week?
I did not
was
see
like,
that.
Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg on CNN, the documentary. I'm like, yeah, I know. I saw it at Camel View. And people were like, what?
But it's produced by a company that can play it at a theater, but they can also bring it home. So RBG did it. Blackfish was a CNN documentary.
Blackfish, I saw it in the theater.
Blackfish was great.
But it was actually a CNN documentary.
Yeah.
I watched it on Netflix because it came to Netflix very, very quickly.
Yeah. So that's the same with Love, Gilda.
Love, Gilda is showing at AMC theaters.
There you go.
According to this.
I think that movie is going to be huge. I think people love her.
People remember her.
So you're all invited over to my house. Three Identical Strangers comes out the first week of October
Clayton's
on DVD.
Movie.
And I'm going to force you to watch something else. So just be ready.
I'm concerned, though, with watching that movie with you. I'm not sure how that's going to go. Because I've watched the Academy Awards enough with you that I feel like we're going to be stop, rewind through the whole movie.
So, October 1st.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I think it's October 6th that gets released.
It's a Saturday.
Clayton, I thought of you, and don't get mad that I didn't invite you, but because I have no time.
I'm busy.
But at
I, don't have time.
I know. But at ASU,
very busy.
They have
I'm cleaning
they
mirrors.
Show,
with a
they show films at ASU, and there was a big poster for there was a showing this week of Coco.
Oh, I can't. I'll just cry.
Followed by a discussion of Coco.
Oh my god!
And I thought, you know, I was like, I should have. I've been so overwhelmed by my job that I was like, I just can't. But
damn
I thought
it,
of
Doug.
Calling you. I'm like, damn maybe it. I will take you to this movie and then we can just have the full discussion experience of Coco.
I'd still be there. I'd still be there crying.
I'm still there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's entertainment. Thank you for putting up with it.
Gotcha. Yes. There's.
I don't know, but we've running
so
late on everything.
Say good night, Gracie.
The only thing, I'm not going to play the video from the Mad TV thing because we're going to get copyright slammed for it. But I think I can get away with
it. We don't care.
Yes, I do. Because they'll black out the entire show.
Will they really?
So, yeah, they will. They will do it. So, I just want to play this little island.
Well, here comes Kathy. She is looking really snazzy in this two-piece from Size Appeal.
Wow.
Now, this outfit is functional and fashionable. And you could wear this, to someone else's wedding. Or even if you're staying home alone on a Saturday night. Absolutely, absolutely, Kat. Or let's say it's 2 a.m. and all of a sudden you want to run to the store and get a gallon of Rocky Road and some Kleenex. Well, then this is what to wear.
Oh, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we shouldn't overlook the shoes.
Oh, good point, Kat. Now, Kathy, I know you probably can't see those shoes, but they are gorgeous.
And I might point out here that every shoe in our Hefty Hoofer collection
Hefty Hoofer
is a slip-on. That means no
bending. No.
That's so good.
I know we're about to say goodnight, Kathy.
No.
But I have two people left to do the Thoughtful Vulgarity on. We got your answer, and we got
did?
Your answer. But I
what
need...
What was the question?
Well, it was about stepchildren and dating people with children.
Oh, I see.
So
I would like the rest of the panel to chime in because this is something.
You realize it's just the two of you,
right?
Okay,
but we didn't get to chime in.
The whole panel. Clean.
Like, how many other people do you think are in this studio?
But we didn't get to chime in, and I
didn't ask me if I thought it was a good idea.
You're right,
but you jumped in.
I did it, but you didn't ask me if I thought it was a good idea.
So did you think it was a good idea?
6 years later, 7 years later, maybe.
A couple years later,
maybe.
Okay, well then.
But isn't that anything in life? Maybe I'll know when I'm dead. Like as I'm dying, right. I will make a final proclamation on anything.
The middle is hard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. In any parenting situation, the middle is hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it just is. Doug, go ahead.
Wait, what are we doing?
No, wait. Are you being a stepdaddy?
So your thoughtful vulgarity is about dating someone who had like. Now it could come up. Like, everyone's of the age, and now.
Oh no, I get it now. Okay, yeah.
But y'all are
going
to date people with adult children now.
Whoa!
it's
true though.
It's fair, yeah.
I think that would be
Martinez. They might be a couple years younger.
I think that would be better. Well, he adopts them, I think. But
we'll be dating the adult children.
Well, Kat made an interesting point. Like now, I wouldn't be raising the child. They would be an adult.
Or you
child.
To date someone,
but let's say your new beau is 30. That child.
Well, let's hope so.
Good on you.
But
well, let's say that, Al.
So
let's say that a lot.
Let's say that a lot. The best case scenario, the kid's 10
it's
or
possible.
11.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
so are you asking me would I rule it out? No. I wouldn't.
But what are your thoughts on going into it? Because this one ran out Sylvester the Cat. Yeah.
But I was also early 20s at the time.
Yeah.
All right, you can get a turn. You can get a turn.
I actually wouldn't. Oh.
We're starting with Marnie Doug.
Wow.
I wouldn't. I would not.
Dargy.
I wouldn't rule that out. Because, I mean, I like kids.
Yeah, no, those would be okay. Not with a deal breaker?
No, now, not a deal breaker.
And now, as we were
But it would be a consideration, for
and,
sure.
And my new thing is like, okay, now you're walking into parenting. Like, do you make a plan? Like, do you. Like this is.
I made a plan.
Yeah, I'm recently eyes opened. Like as of like 7:25 this morning, afternoon, evening. I don't know.
Sure.
So, I don't know your whole backstory, Kat. But I think
honestly, no one does.
Kind of gay.
And
maybe
I don't have
Utah.
Time for it right
you
now.
You certainly don't have to answer any of these personal questions. But
I certainly would. If you asked
Sharon
a direct one, I would.
Is your significant other now?
Correct.
Right.
But she was married
allegedly.
To a man before.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And in between,
had, at least once.
How many kids?
Two.
With that other same guy.
Correct. Same dad.
And he's part of the picture in the
yep.
co-parent, is that
yep.
they call
spying
it?
Of
custody
iPhone.
Or
allegedly,
whatever.
Yes.
Now we're at quad
so parent. Are the kids there part time?
Yes. They're there
okay.
now.
Okay. So that's interesting. So then you did you get married?
Nope.
You're together.
Correct.
So that's
we're old
definitely
school gay married, whereas we have all the problems but none of the paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so
old
that
school
is
gay married is what I call it.
So for the kids, that might be something of an adjustment.
So they were really little when we got together.
So
they
how
were,
long has this been?
They
7
were three
years
and five when we started living together.
Oh,
so
okay,
know,
so that's really what they
else.
Know.
They
yeah.
don't
okay.
know a whole lot else. Armand, okay. The oldest, remembers more than the little one would. Mm.
And at five, their emotional memories, really.
Right. But he remembers, because Sharon's very, very... like emotionally sentimental, and so the oldest is a lot like that, and so he remembers incidents that keep getting told over and over again, but he doesn't actually remember anything
right.
other than
remembers
how
the stories
it is now,
what
right?
he hears.
He remembers the stories, and will still cry over a dead dog that I guarantee he has no memory of. But I know that's
so
a thing.
Old Marnie.
Yeah, but they were very very small when we
fact.
Started living
that's
together.
A fact.
Okay,
so they don't actually know much different.
Okay, so you've been committed to this idea of being together and raising these kids.
Okay,
I think that's different than
oh, no,
like what
I,
we were talking about. Like someone's got a, I don't know, a 15-year-old.
No, but
I'm like,
I'm recently introduced to this fact of like, okay.
But like 7 years ago, I had a conversation with myself about how I wanted to approach this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't always turned out the way that I thought. Like I really thought that I would be like... a lot more good cop than I am bad cop, but it turns out that my boundaries are a lot more restrictive than Sharon's.
So that
actually
has something
are.
To do with Sharon,
right?
Yeah,
it has a lot to do with Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would okay. like to add that I've grown please. Since just 7:35.
Oh, good
evening,
good on you.
When I was presented with this quandary, this quagmire, if you will.
Quagmire always reminds me of quicksand. I don't know why.
I think they're the same. I think
related.
That goes along with
related,
parenting.
Yeah.
With I never thought ever. About the fact that like I would just think if I met somebody who had kids that we would just be a deal breaker, like I would be Sylvester the Cat, until I thought, well, no, it would be an adult conversation about we're gonna get together and have a serious, like we're not just gonna be fuck buddies, like if right. we're gonna take this into a serious relationship, there's another part, it's very goodbye girl, there's yeah. another party in this that we have to factor in that's a part of this relationship, and we're gonna have to decide, do I get roles in parenting? Do I not get
Do I
roles
stay
in
out
parenting?
Of it?
Do
right.
I stay out of it? And then all of a sudden, I'm more on board.
Well, that's
like,
a good question.
And sometimes I think I should have stayed a lot more
not,
out of it than I have.
Because you were not the biological parent.
I'm clearly not, no.
So yeah. that's kind of like a...
You really clarified
so.
That. I like that.
But what you're saying is that might feel kind of weird, right?
But, yeah.
Like going into it, like I'm not really the parent.
You know what? I never actually imagined having children. Like, that was never a thing that was ever going to happen
to
me.
Well, not without an epidural.
And not without a lot of things going horribly,
right.
horribly wrong.
I see, yeah.
And that's my thing, is, like, I assumed that I would have a child like I was had. It would be, like, I would never, there would never be a biological component
right.
to me parenting. Like, that.
Yeah.
Actually carrying a child, that was never happening. Ever happening.
So you're not ever. Yeah.
We were going to coat hanger abortion.
And you don't ever want to do that?
That was never
Wait, hold
ever
on.
Happening.
But you don't want to do that?
No, God,
like,
no.
So you would not. So let's say she was like, now I want to have a baby with you.
And there's plenty of kids that need homes. And but I just so finished you, so watching 5 seasons of The Fosters.
So that is a deal breaker then for you, though, to not have biologically. Because a lot of lesbian couples do that where they're
right,
like,
but she can't have them.
Katie June's a prime example of
right.
that.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
But there's one person to have
But Sharon can have all the children she wants.
Okay, I was just asking, does she want to have a kid or ever?
I do not. Not okay. ever, not no,
and so
not
has he
never.
Always
and that's never been...
Wait, hold on. But has that always been that way? Or
for me, yes.
Okay, so you just know.
I just know
okay.
that I was never going to have children.
Thank you for an honest
answer. And to that point, I will interject that I have always felt that
yeah.
though I am not opposed to children who belong to other people.
Right, me either.
But
I love them.
I personally always knew I never wanted kids because I always knew from a young age, I always thought I'm too selfish with my time for that. And I didn't want to have to be the...
Yeah.
The I didn't want to be in a position of, do I work on a vacuum or do right. I have a kid? Because the vacuum's going to win for me.
But that's good
self-awareness, but I always knew that.
That's
I
mean, a good
that's
thing.
A horrible analogy, but the fact
really.
Remains is I always
no,
wanted to be
not.
Able to pick up and go and do what I wanted
no,
and not, not have
that. It means
that,
you know who you are.
Which is also
but don't
why...
But men always have that option, though?
Well, not if you're going to be a good father.
No, but you always have that option. Like, if I can care about a vacuum, I can care about the
but
kid. But
that also goes along with, I initially didn't want pets. When I moved into this house, I had no pets.
Right.
Mom got Maggie, my black cat, as a friend for her cat she had. And then within 2 weeks, that didn't work. So mom said, would you take her? Yes, I'll take her. Fine. So Maggie
would so you didn't seek them out?
No.
Oh.
I kind of sought out Marty only because I thought maybe Maggie needed a companion cat because I was gone all the time working at the time.
But to help the gays, pets are not children.
No. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But no.
Thank
but
you.
The point, the point
Grand
of the story,
puppies are not
the
a
point
thing.
Of my story I is, I wanted to be able to pick up and go at any time and have to worry about a responsibility. That was why I didn't want children, ergo, pets.
Got it.
Now that I'm older, I ain't going nowhere, so pets are fine. Still don't want any kids.
Right.
I also don't believe I would be acceptable to a relationship. It would be hard for me to get in a relationship with somebody.
But
that had kids because I know
all relationships are hard.
I understand that, but it would be
harder.
An added hardship for me with kids.
Sure.
To that point, even with people that I know on Facebook or people I know in real life, like, and I see all of their posts and pictures with all the family, all the nieces and nephews, and all the stuff, and all I think of is, you ain't got no time for me.
Yeah.
Because you're at every family function, you're at everything, and there I'm just like, that's a. I don't know if I can. I don't know.
Yeah. And okay, so I'll
I get
answer.
That.
Okay. So I would say, because if you know me and my keeping a continent between my family, but there's a lot of interaction. Like, I'm very involved in my family. And, like, you got to meet these people. Like, they're part of what I do. Like, we're going back there. They're coming out here. We're all going to intermingle. And I really thought a couple years ago, and I was kind of dating someone semi-professionally, and we had a conversation about, this is the birthday where I have to say, as part of this dynamic, children are no longer a part of this.
Right.
Like, if, and we had just reached that point of like, where are we going to go from here? How are we going to do this? And I was like, I have reached the age where like, their kids can't be part of this. Like, I should point this out to you because we're not adopting anything. We're not surrogating anything. Like, this can't go on.
Right.
Like, this can't include children. I'm too old. Like, I reach an age that I thought was inappropriate. I'm not Alec Baldwin. I'm not going to be 70 and have a 2-year-old.
No, Jenny, he doesn't.
No, I don't. This was a few years ago, probably 7 years ago. But now the thought of like meeting someone and as you said, like, but to have a conversation of like, how are we going to, like, we can do this. Mm-hmm. You have a child of any age. It could be. You know, everybody's
bigger,
having
small,
kids
sure.
older now, so you could be 40 and have a 10-year-old. Like, now it would be like, can we just, let's talk about where my part would be. Mm-hmm. I just never factored that in, and I'm fascinated by it.
Because, now, you've talked about this a lot.
But I don't believe, because, like, the biological thing, and I know there's no harm meant, but it always, like, there's...
Well, and to clarify
no,
my position...
Yeah, and it really is nothing bad, but, like... You raise children, like, whenever someone says Barbara Walters' adopted daughter, I just want to stab them in the eye.
Right.
It's her daughter. But it's one of those things where, like, how do you parent? How do you do this? And I'm like, oh, I never thought about, strangely, at 51
and
years
you,
old.
You can biologically have a kid, though, without having sex.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's like, all these, different ways to go a million different places.
Yeah.
But the point is to have the conversation about, like, how do I want to get involved? It's not a deal breaker.
Right.
That's just a new dynamic that came up at 7:30 tonight. I'm fascinated mm-hmm. by it because yeah, there's like a conversation that needs to be had. You don't know what the world's going to hold or
yeah.
who you're going to end up with or what's going to happen. But it's good to...
sure.
It's just interesting to think, how do I want to be in this picture?
Oh, sure, because mm-hmm. I could have gone... a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah.
I decided mm-hmm. to go like 100% we're in this together. You
like
know,
fathers of babies that were accidents, mothers of babies right. want to give, like there's so many different ways to go about parenting, but wow.
So many.
It's yeah, true. So many. Mm-hmm. All the ways.
All the ways.
All the ways. An interesting dynamic. We solve so many problems.
Well, you know we often do.
That's what this show is all do.
And,
about.
Summer and Danny were not here with their 4-year anniversary to talk about
oh my gosh,
raising adult children because we actually have somebody that's usually on our boards that is doing that exact thing.
Oh, right on.
That are co-parenting.
I didn't realize that. I probably should have, but I did not.
Wow.
So when they listen, God bless you, we want to hear your story.
They'll listen back.
What a hell of a show.
Email us, text us,
hell of a day at sea.
Hell of a day
it really
day
has
sea,
been a hell
sir.
Of a day at sea. Doug, you're with us next week, right?
I am.
You is.
My gosh.
You're going to sit right there, aren't
here
you?
Here or
in
there?
The same seat.
No, I'm here next week.
You're here. Oh, okay.
So you're right there because Marnie's gone right. to her 30th anniversary.
Oh, that's why.
That's
okay.
why.
I'll be back.
Hearing about travel from other people.
It'll be the same show. Well,
don't leave, Al. Don't
as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.